We're doing Mishlei, and we're up to what is commonly called the 25th chapter. The chapter begins, Gam Eile Mishlei Shlomo. These two are the Proverbs of Solomon, Asher Hetiku Anshei Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, that the men of Chizkiyah, the king of Judah, his men copied over. And the question is, what does this verse mean? So it's been voted that we should read the verses with the trup, with the tune. So I'll read it with the tune, and then we'll discuss the different commentaries as to what the verse means. Gam eile mishlei Shlomo asher hetiku anshei Chizkiya melech Yehuda. One understanding is that the beginning of Mishlei, till here, were proverbs that everyone had. And the last part, from here till the end of Mishlei, were proverbs that Shlomo said that Chizkiyahu's men copied over from Solomon's different works. Meaning, till here was common, everyone had it. And these two are proverbs of Solomon. But these, only the elite had, these Chizkiyahu's men, they copied them over from the different works of Solomon. And now they're publicizing it for everyone, but they're informing the people, even though this might seem new to you, up to here you knew what we've said, all of this you, the masses had, this too you should know is amongst the Proverbs of King Solomon. That's the explanation the Metzuda gives.
Why were these proverbs amongst the elite in the first place?
I don't know. That I don't know. The Ibn Ezra says it's possible that this section was really a part of a separate work of King Solomon's thoughts. And King Solomon had the work of Proverbs, which he wrote. He had many other works which he wrote. And this was collected from a different work of wisdom that he wrote. And Chizkiyah's men decided that from that work of wisdom, they should take the Proverbs and add them to the book of Proverbs. That's another possible understanding. So the fact that the verse begins and says, Gam Eile. These two are the Proverbs of Solomon, seems to indicate that that's what they're telling us. You should know, don't think that Proverbs ended. These are also Proverbs of King Solomon. And the Ralbag also goes along the same route. The Ralbag also goes along the same lines that these were proverbs that were less common among the people, and so they had to tell the people, you should know, these are also Shlomo's proverbs. Okay, so now let's begin. Pasuk Bet. Kevod Elohim Hastel Davar Uchvod Melachim Chakor Davar. The honor of God is sometimes to keep things hidden. We don't expose things because people will not be able to appreciate them, so it is better to keep them hidden. Kvod Elokim, the honor of Hashem is that His greatness is hidden because it is beyond our capacity anyways to understand. So better to keep it hidden. That's the verse in Tehillim that David HaMelech said, Lecha Dumiya Tehila, to you God the greatest praise is silence. Because whatever I say is just going to detract from your greatness. But by comparison, uchvod melachim, but the honor of the kings is chakol davar, to verify their greatness, because their greatness is finite. So you could find out, Achashverosh had a kingdom from here to here, 127 kingdoms. You could define their greatness. You could define their wealth. It's finite. So chvod melachim, the honor of kings, Hakol Davar, is to verify what honor they deserve, and then you could give them the honor they deserve. Our sages said this pasuk applies to the secrets of the Torah. Kvod Elokim is still davar, the honor of God is to conceal the secrets, what's called Maaseh Merkava and Maaseh Bereshit. Kvod Melachim, the honor of the kings. Who are the kings? That's Man Malchei Rabbanan, the rabbis, our sages. So then, Chekel Daval, their honor is that you figure things out. You want to figure out why did they make this decree? I want to understand, why did they make things this way? The honor of the kings, the honor of the sages, is that we verify to the umpteenth point, what did they mean? To the greatest degree we try to verify. When it comes to God, if we're going to try to verify to the greatest degree, why did God create the world? That's Maaseh Bereshit. That's something that's beyond us. So about that we say, the honor of God is a still devout. Keep it concealed, it's beyond you. You're going to try to figure out the reasoning behind how God runs the world. That's Maaseh Bereshit, Maaseh Merkava. But Kvod Melachim, the honor of the kings, the honor of the rabbis, is that you actually do seek out their reasoning. Now this also applies to the Chukim, our Parsha, right? The Torah says, we have a chok, we have a mitzvah parah aduma. We know we're not allowed to eat pig. We know we have a mitzvah shatnez. So there we say, God's statutes, kvod Elokim, the honor of God, is a still deval. Leave it hidden, you don't know. People are going to ask you, why don't you wear wool and linen together? The answer, because God said so. Why did God say so? I don't know. Pasuk Gimel. There are many explanations.
No, a simple explanation meaning God, now Prasha, Hashem Himself says, I give you this as a statute because I want it that it's not only for you, not only for the nations, not normal. I don't know that somebody can attack your workers.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Rashi says that Hashem on purpose said that, for example, the laws for the red cow, I don't want, that there is an explanation or a logic behind it, because the nations would attack you over that. They would seek out the reason. What's going on here? Why do you need to burn a red cow? And I want that it's like the facts are only with Hashem, not with us. We don't know.
Let's say the Rashi together. That's not how I understood the Rashi. Okay. But you're telling me a new understanding in Rashi. Let's say it together. Mm-hmm. That's not how I understood it. We'll look at it together. Shamaim Larum. Va'aretz la'omik v'lev melachim ein cheker. When you speak about the height of the heavens, shamayim larum, the height of the heavens, va'aretz la'omik, or the depth of the earth, v'lev melachim, and you want to understand how deep is the understanding of the kings. He's got to run a million things at the same time. He has this army over there, this taxes, this person who's asking him this, that governor is doing that, this rebellion that's brewing there. He has a million things running at the same time. In Chekel, these three things are beyond human capacity to define. So our sages say that have respect for the king, because a king has to run a million things at the same time. That's this pasuk. Shamayim larum, just like you understand that you don't understand the height of the heavens. Va'aretz lomek, you understand you don't know the depths of the earth. Ve'lev melachim, by the same token, recognize that the heart of kings and cheker is beyond a person's capacity. Okay, that's pshat in the pasuk. Hagosigim mikasef. Vayetze latzoref keli. Hago means to remove. Yeah? So, just as when you remove, hago sigim mikasef, when you take out the impurities of the silver, Vayotze latzoref keli. Then the blacksmith has a beautiful vessel that comes out. Then he could fashion it the way he should. By the same token, says Shlomo, Hagorasha lifnei mehelech v'ikon batzedek kiso. So too, when you remove the wicked person who's standing before the king, then his throne will stand upon righteousness, upon justice. But if he leaves the wicked standing before him, so then he's going to cause the king to err. There's a marked difference between a king who has advisors that are wicked and when he removes those advisors. Just as the silver can be fashioned correctly only after you remove the impurities, then you could fashion a beautiful vessel. So too a king has to know that the people who surround him will define his kingdom. If he wants to have a righteous kingdom, he has to ensure that around him are righteous people. He has to remove the wicked from around him. Al tithadar lifnei melech uvimkom gedolim al tamod. A person shouldn't glorify himself when he's standing before the king. And a person shouldn't push himself to sit among the great people. There's a dais, there's a head table, don't go sit there. Al titadar lifnei melech, don't praise yourself, don't glorify yourself before the king. Uvinkom gedolim al tamod, and don't you voluntarily move forward to stand with the great people. Explains Shlomo in the next pasuk, ki tov amo lecha aleihena. It's better that people will tell you, come up here, you belong up here at the dais. Better go that way. Mei hashpilecha lifnei. Just a second, sorry. Mei hashpilecha lifnei nadiv asher ra'u einecha. Rather, that people tell you, come up, you should be sitting up here, that's better for you. Rather than that you should go sit up there, and then they'll tell you, go down, you don't belong here, and they'll push you down, and you see, asher ra'u einecha, you see that that's what happens when people voluntarily go and take a seat in the front. Sometimes they tell them, no, this seat is safe for someone else. So Shlomo HaMelech says, al titadal, don't glorify yourself before the king. If he'll choose, he'll glorify you. And don't voluntarily you step forward and sit at the front table. I saw that with great rabbis, that when they came to all kinds of affairs, they'd sit back with the students, and they were happy there. If the head of the affair noticed, so he'd say, no, come, sit with me. And if not, so they stayed back there. What happened? Better that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Better you sit with everyone, and if they want you up there, they'll invite you. Rather that than you go sit up there, and suddenly they say, hey, there's no room for the Chassan's father, there's no room for the Kala's father, I'm sorry, we didn't make room for the rabbi here. Okay, you didn't make room, no problem, but it's better that you be invited up than you be asked to step down. So it's a simple advice. You want to say something?
Well, I see that in terms of honor, it makes sense to what he's saying, but at the same time, though, I think that one should strive to be like those great people so that he may merit similar.
Sure.
In that respect.
Sure, yeah. They're not mutually exclusive, what you're saying in Shlomo HaMelech. Pasuk Chet. Al teitze lariv maher. Pen mata'ase de'achrita be'achlimotecha regecha. Don't be quick to join one side of a fight till you could figure out who's in the right, who's wrong. Lest you find yourself in a situation when at the end of the fight your friend comes and says, why'd you take the other side? I've done nothing wrong. Stupid. What'd you fight if you don't know the truth? And this is very often the case. Very often people ask me to join a petition or to join all kinds of things, and I refuse. And they tell me, why do you refuse? You don't believe this is a good cause? And my answer is always, I don't always tell them that, but my answer is always, I believe that the way you're presenting the cause What you want me to sign is good. I believe that. But I don't know all the ramifications and who I'm signing the petition against. So I don't know both sides of the case. I'm not necessarily going to sign this petition. Fair? Okay. Don't join us a fight. Don't be quick to join a fight. Because ultimately, your own friend could be on the other side, and he'll come to you and say, what'd you join the fight for? The responsible approach is verify the truth. You can't verify the truth, don't get involved. Rivecha, riv et reyecha, v'sod acher, al tegal. And here, Shlomo is giving us a piece of advice. If we only came here tonight to learn this pasuk, it was worth coming tonight. Let's say you delved into the topic and you come to the conclusion that your friend is wrong. Now there's a petition out against him. Shlomo HaMelech says that's between you and him. You don't have to join the public fight against him. Rivecha, your private quarrel, rivet leyecha, you fight him, take it out with him personally. Don't take it out publicly. Don't join the parties that are shaming him. And sod acher al tegal. Don't give forth the secrets that are others. Other people don't know. You don't have to cause him shame. You have an issue with him. You take it out between you and him. And this is a very important point. There was a story here in Israel about 25, 30 years ago. You heard of Rav Leventhal? He, together with a group of other people, wanted to start activities against Arabs. The government heard of it. They claimed they tried to bomb a bus or something, and they put him in jail for a long time. When the government was taking him to court, so a friend of his, who was very left, came to his help to try and fight his case in court. So the media came to this person and they said, all of your beliefs are left. So how could you be fighting for this person in court? So he said this point. He said, politically, my beliefs are left. Right now my friend is facing a situation of, am I going to jail or not? What I believe in, how we should deal with the current political situation, I still maintain we should go left. But right now the question is my friend going to sit in jail or not? Well, for my friend, I'm going to stand up in court and try to ensure he doesn't end up in jail. I have an issue. I don't agree with him. Shlomo HaMelech says, you have an issue with your friend. That's between you and him. Don't you reveal his secrets publicly. Don't you take the laundry outside. So what if other people are attacking him? You don't be quick to join a fight. And even if you've come to the conclusion that your friend is in the wrong, go talk to him privately. פן יחסדך שומע ודיבתך לא תשוב. And here again, Shlomo HaMelech is giving us such beautiful advice. Sometimes you have a team effort, right? You have a family, you have a corporation, and you feel that something they've done is wrong. And other people are taking them to task over what you feel is wrong. It's very tempting to say, you know, I'm with you guys. To say quietly, you know, the truth is you guys are right. It's very tempting. Shlomo HaMelech says, you have an issue with them, take it up with them personally. And if you think that when you go telling other people, by the way, I agree with you, they'll look at you positively, it might go the other way around. Could be they'll look down at you and say, he's not a faithful person. Behind their backs, he's speaking badly about them. Pen yechasedcha shomea. Maybe the one who listens to you is really looking down at you. Maybe he's disgracing you. He himself looks down upon you. V'dibatcha. And the second you speak badly about someone, lo tashuv. You can't take it back. You could regret it. It won't change anything. Once you've said it, you can't take it back. You can't fix it. And this is something a person should think about also in a job situation. Very often a co-worker comes and he's thinking of defecting or all kinds of things that can happen within politics of a company. So a person is very tempted to say, well, I'll be neutral. I'll just tell him what I think. Maybe. Are you really being neutral? Or are you giving out all kinds of inside information, and you're invoking all of your personal feelings and your personal issues with the boss or the company, etc.? Shlomo Melech is warning us. You have an issue with the company, you have an issue with the boss, you go talk to him. You want to put fuel on a fire, on another fight that's going on, well, that he will rightfully take you to task over it, your friend. And even the one who listens to you will ultimately look down at you. This, like every piece of advice in Mishlei, has to be taken in the proper context, with the proper measurement. No one's saying that just because a person's part of a law firm and they're suing illegitimately, that he should toe the line. Obviously, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about areas where what's being done is legitimate, where, like we said, even if there's something wrong, it's not an issue where you're being wrong by being silent. Obviously, this has to be defined, what situation we're talking about. If a person knows that he's part of a medical practice and the doctors he's with messed up an operation, and now the patient is suing, and he's just going to be quiet and toe the line, well, I'm part of the medical practice, I'm not going to say anything. I think he should consult his local Orthodox rabbi. I don't think that's what Shlomo HaMelech was talking about. So obviously we have to know where to apply this advice, but at the end of the day, this is very important advice.
Can I
you can give an example, but I doubt I'll be able to answer you.
Okay. Maybe.
I'm with you.
If I have to feed an example from someone. My company, I track certain things on the internet about technology that I can see that automatically. I don't have to search all the time anymore.
So I realize you're being recorded. You want me to stop the recording?
Yeah.